We're going to talk tonight. I called the title of the sermon, Our Adversary, even though the verse we read says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And these passages remind us, the reason I called it Our Adversary is because Peter was talking about to the young and the old, and to those that were in this specific group of people he was writing to, including other Christians that were not reading this letter. But he talked about our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And first, I want to say, we've got a few minutes, but first I want to say we ought to reserve our passion and our anger and our strong conviction for things that really matter. The devil has always been on the wrong side. Even back to the Garden of Eden, even his name means one that divides. He came to Eve and he said he questioned God's word. He made Eve think that something was up. He made her think that God had lied to her. And then he told her that God was hiding good things from her. And he said, hath God said? And the devil does that still today. Appreciate the first testimony I think we had. Talked about the devil's gotten in the way before, but he didn't have the victory today. And I think it's good to know who we're against, who we're for, and who we're supposed to be serving. And he's our adversary. We are in the fight together. Peter said, you got to be steadfast, be sober, be vigilant, and resist steadfast in the faith. So the devil's always had the same job, and as a roaring lion, we can learn, because I was thinking about this again this afternoon, we can learn from the lion. They like to eat every day. Okay, so they're just like us. I know lions sleep a lot, but they like to eat just like we do. They like to eat every day. So every day the devil is walking about. He doesn't take the day off. He doesn't rest and relax. He's always on the lookout. He's always walking about seeking whom he may devour. And I think we've read this quote before, but the two biggest mistakes are either giving the devil too much fear and power or not acknowledging him at all. And he is real. He does exist. He has an axe to grind. He is bitter. He is evil incarnate. And he has a personal stake in not only Christians, but those that have never received Christ. Of course, the devil would love for no one to ever trust Christ. He'd love for nobody to get saved. And as Pastor says many times, if he couldn't stop you from getting saved, he's going to try to make you live as close to unsaved as he can get you. He's going to make your life full of no purpose. He's going to take away the purpose of your life. He's going to fill it with sin and pride and envy, and he's going to take away every good thing that he can. And again, he would take you to hell if he could, but as a Christian, we need to be sober and vigilant and watch for somebody that's on the attack every day. Just like you go to the refrigerator 3, 4, 5 times a day, the devil gets a roaring lion, and the devil is ready to attack every day. He attacks when we least expect it. That's how a lion attacks. He looks for weakness. He uses devices and traps and however you say it. He looks for any opportunity, and he attacks when you least expect it. He attacks, there's always a price when the devil attacks, and he'll attack. He is not particular about who he attacks. He looks for weakness and he finds it. And if he finds that weakness and exploits it, if the lion draws blood, he's going back for more. And we need to be sober. That word means to be mentally alert and self-controlled. Again, the devil would love for us to just say he doesn't exist, he doesn't have any power, that no one's susceptible to his temptation. But that would be wrong, just as wrong as it would be to go to the zoo and jump the fence and jump the moat and hang out with the lions and say, that's a guy in a costume, he's not going to bother me. That would be silly. And it's silly for us to live, especially in the world that we live in today, and say we don't need to pay attention. We don't need to be alert and self-controlled. The Bible commands us to be sober and vigilant, which means to be watchful, awake, and alert. The devil's very name, it means to divide us. He's a false accuser. He's a slanderer. He uses lies and the truth to attack us. There's plenty of things I've been accused of that I haven't done, but there's a ton of things the devil could accuse me of that I'm guilty of. The devil is a reminder of those times where we failed. He's a reminder of our weaknesses. And that's another reason we need to be sober and vigilant and resist him steadfastly. That word steadfast talks about a battle-hardened soldier, you know, a person that's been through training, that has been through battle, and they're going to stand there no matter what. Just like a lion, when its prey turns and runs, it attacks. But in many cases, even a lion, if you stand, I'm not going to try to prove it, but people have said, if you stand and face down that lion, it will get confused because it's not used to someone standing their ground. And in many cases, it will flee. Like the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So his strategy is to make us weak, to make us believe we're weak, and to make us think that we are alone. When temptation comes, the devil's strategy is to make us think that this isn't happening to anybody else. It's only happening to me. The devil's strategy is to make you think, well, it's only my adversary and no one else is facing him as well. One of the devil's strategy is to just get us fighting with each other. And if we can ignore him and start fighting with each other, his goal is still accomplished. If we're bickering and fighting and we forget that we're on the same team, and we forget that we're supposed to be standing with one another against the wiles, the traps of the devil, he accomplishes the same goal as if he attacked us on a personal level. It's sad, it's tragic when we spend our energy and our passion. Again, we should hate the devil, but a lot of that energy and passion that we should direct his direction. I remember somebody wore a t-shirt one time that said, "Not today, Satan," that acknowledged that he's there, that he's trying to get us, and to say it's not going to be today. But we take that passion, that energy, and we direct it at other people. We say we become suspicious. We become we assume their motives, which we really can't ever do because we never know. But we look at somebody and say, "I bet I know why they're acting the way they're acting." And then we start to expend our energy and our focus on other Christians, when God commands us to encourage one another and exhort one another and provoke one another. One of the verses I didn't read this morning talking about parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke your children to anger. We take the energy that God gives us for good and we use it against each other. We're supposed to be encouraging. We're supposed to use what energy we have to encourage one another to stand against the devil. So, a lion eats every day. The devil's on the lookout every day. Know who we stand against. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I'll read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also." The Apostle Paul was talking to people. They had disciplined a member of the church. They had sent him away, and Paul wrote and said, he has received the discipline, he's asked for forgiveness, and now I need you to forgive him. He said, "For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ." Paul said, let's forgive this guy, because Christ forgave us. He said, lest, if we don't forgive him, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the tools that Satan uses is that sin of unforgiveness. To say, you know what, I don't forgive you. To say, I know what you did, I'm not going to forget about it, and I don't forgive you. Satan says, all right, that'll work. You know, that's not one of the Ten Commandments. That's not one of the big sins. I'm not going to print a newspaper and put you in the headlines for your gross sin, but unforgiveness works. If you don't want to forgive somebody, that's enough to trap you. That's one of my traps, is unforgiveness. Another trap the devil uses is pride. We talked about humility this morning in Sunday school and the humility that Esther had when she went before the king. But the devil loves to use pride. If you know the story of Lucifer, before he became Satan, before he became the devil, his sin. The devil knows that pride works because that's the sin that took him down. So one of his favorite sins to use to attack us is to tell us that Satan said, "I'll be like the Most High," to tell us that we're more than we really are, to lift ourselves up, to puff ourselves up and say, "I really do deserve all the blessings that God has given me. Nobody else does, but I really do deserve it." And the devil uses that pride to trap us. So again, the sin of an unforgiving heart, the sin of pride, lest that Satan should get advantage of us. The devil loves to attack because he finds a weakness and he exploits it. So we need to know that he's our adversary, that we stand against him and we stand with one another. That's why it's so important that we do forgive one another. That's why it's so important that we don't hold bitterness in our hearts. That's why it's so important that we look for opportunities to be an encouragement to our fellow Christian, those that are on the same team. Because we do only have a limited amount of energy. You know, just like a lion sleeps a lot and stores up his energy for the attack, we only have a certain amount of energy that we can use in our own power to stand against the devil. Now, we rely on God, but when God gives us what we need and then we use it against one another, God's done his part. We've just taken what he's given us and used it in the wrong way. So stand against the sin of pride. Stand against the sin of unforgiveness and the sin of envy. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. And if he has one, as was testified tonight, if he has one in the past, acknowledge it. Some of the worst things in life just happen because no one ever acknowledges the problem. You know, no one ever says, hey, this is getting worse. It's not getting better. We got to fix it. To acknowledge the area of your life where the devil has taken control. And maybe it is. Maybe it is in that area of pride. Maybe it is in that area of we don't humble ourselves. We don't try to encourage one another. There's a part in our life that we're lusting for something that's forbidden, that we should not have, that God has told us we should not have, and we spend our time and our energy and our attention on the things that God said, it's not for you right now. I've given you what you need, and that's not what you need. The devil's the one that does that. The devil's the one that divides us. The devil's the one that has any plan except God's plan in our life. And if we allow it, he'll bring disappointment, discouragement, doubt, and division. Again, that's what he seeks to do. He wants you to think you're the only one that's facing that temptation. The Bible says that, what the verse we read this morning, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God's the one that says, hey, you know, you're not in this by yourself. You need to stand with your brothers and sisters. You need to be sober and vigilant and resist steadfast in the faith. The Bible tells us in the book of James, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Be honest with yourself. You say, you know what? The devil's got an attitude in my life that I haven't dealt with in a while. In fact, I need to deal with it every day. I need to not lie to myself and tell myself the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. A lot of things that we do as Christians, we do the same thing. Either we do it in strife or we do it in peace. And the difference comes with who we're standing against. If the energy God has given you, you're using it to stand against another Christian, confess that sin. Say, I'm supposed to be an encouragement. I'm supposed to be, if somebody needs to get their sin right with God, I'm supposed to be the helper that helps them get right with God, not stand against them. And if it's just a difference of attitude or opinion, the reason we have this issue is because we're not acknowledging that the devil is our adversary. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and those things, the spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not fighting against one another. We're fighting against the influence of the devil. And the best thing we can do for somebody is pray for them and want to be an encouragement to them and say, hey, we're on the same team. We're fighting the same enemy. We're supposed to be submitting to one another. We're supposed to be humbling ourselves so God can exalt us. We're supposed to cast our care upon him. And we're supposed to be sober and vigilant. And remember, we have an adversary. We share an adversary that we're all standing against. It's a daily thing. Just like we should ask God for our daily bread. It's a daily thing to tell the devil he's not going to win today because of our faith in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we need to remind ourselves of that every day. He is a real force, and we need to remind ourselves that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're here tonight and God has touched your heart, maybe say, like we talked about this morning, you're 90% there, but you got one area where the devil knows you're weak. He's already drawn blood, and he knows your weakness, and that's where he focuses his attention. Be sober, be vigilant. Maybe God's laid something on your heart. If you're here tonight and you're not even resisting because you never trusted Christ, if you never trusted Christ, you don't know for sure that you have a home in heaven. We can show you from God's word. We can show you that all of us are sinners. All of us deserve that punishment for every sin we've committed. And the only way to pay for it is that place called hell. But Jesus already paid the price when he died on the cross. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here as a Christian tonight, you say, I haven't acknowledged there's evil in the world. And I need to be standing against it for the sake of my own Christian walk, but for those around me, those children that watch what I say and what I do. I might be able to handle it, but I don't want to be that example to them. And none of us can handle it. All of us need to resist steadfastly. So let's pray together. We'll have an invitation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that something said tonight would be a reminder to us. Lord, we love you. Sometimes we take what you give us. We take the blessings, the energy, the thoughts that you allow us to have, and then we use them against our brothers and sisters in Christ instead of rebuking the devil. I pray, Lord, that we know he's hungry every day. He's roaring. He's seeking every day. We need to resist him steadfastly. If there's an area of our life we've left vulnerable tonight, be it pride, be it unforgiveness, envy, lust, whatever it is, Lord, that we would turn it over back to you and say, I'm not weak in that area because my Savior is strong. I'm not vulnerable in that area because I'm depending on God. I pray you bless our time of invitation, that you'd work what you want done tonight, and that as we leave this place, we'd be the right example to those around us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.